from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 12, entitled Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge, text number 9. Yam na yogena sankena dana vrata tapo dharai vakya svajaya sannasai rapnu nyat yatna vannapi yam na yogena sankena dana vrata tapo dharai vyakya svajaya sannyasai prapnuyat yatnavannapi yam na yogena sankena dana vrata tapo dharai vakya svajaya sannyasai prapnuyat yatnavannapi. Yam hum na not yogena by the mystic yoga systems, sankena by philosophical speculation, dana by charity, vrata vows, tapa austerities, advarai or Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, vyakya by explaining Vedic knowledge to others, svajaya personal study of the Veda, sannyasai or by taking the renounced order of life, prabnuya can one obtain, yatvavan with great endeavor, api even. Translation: even though one engages with great endeavor in the mystic yoga system, philosophical speculation, charity, vows, penances, ritualistic sacrifices, teaching of Vedic mantras to others, personal study of the Vedas, or the renounced order of life, still one cannot achieve me. Purport: Lord Krishna here explains that it's very difficult to achieve this personal association, even for one who seriously endeavors to reach the absolute truth. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, such as the gopis and cows, were always living with Lord Krishna, and thus their association is called satsanga. Anyone who is favorably living with the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes sat, or eternal, and thus the association of such a person can immediately award others pure devotional service to the Lord. There is an austerity called Chandrayana, a fast in which one's intake of food is diminished by one mouthful each day as the moon wanes, and increased in the same way as the moon waxes. Similarly, there are painstaking ritualistic sacrifices and grueling studies of the Sanskrit Vedic mantras, which one may also teach to others. All these tedious activities cannot award the highest perfection of life until one gets the causeless mercy of the pure devotees of the Lord, as stated in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8. Dharma sanustitapum sam visvaksina katasya nutpariyat yadiratim srama evi kevalam. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Yanandana Salakaya Taksuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Nama. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So all these things, such as great endeavor in the mystic yoga system, it is mentioned in the Brahma Samhita. Pantastu koti satavatsara sampragam pragamyo vayora tapi manaso munipungavanam supyasti yat prapadi chintya vichintya tat kuvindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. That a yogi who is controlling the senses by drilling the respiration, it is said even if he can travel at the speed of mind, he can still not touch the tip of the toe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, to travel at the speed of mind is extraordinary, not so easily possible. So even if we go in meditation, a yogi who tries to fix his mind on the Lord, he cannot touch the tip of the toe of the Lord. So it is explained. But a devotee, by his devotional service, attracts the mercy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada spoke of the cat way and the monkey way, and how the little monkey is holding on to its mother by its on its own strength, with its own little hands, but the kitten is lifted by the mother. So Srila Prabhupada says the yogi is trying to attain perfection by his own endeavors. By his own austerity, he tries to get mystic power. Then he tries to raise himself little by little. He tries to leave this body through the Brahmaranda either and get a birth on a higher destination, or he tries to develop mystic power and travels on the rays of light. And on the rays of light, he can reach, he can elevate himself to other planets. Some extraordinary yogis can do such things. But ultimately, it's not enough, because no one can enter the spiritual world on his own. It is said that the spiritual world, or Vaikuntha, the Vaikuntha domain, is protected by various gates, and these gates again are protected by tridents, fiery tridents, and no one can pass them, just whoever has not pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So merely by austerity and mystic power one cannot enter the spiritual domain. The spiritual domain is only entered when the Supreme Lord is pleased with our service. So merely a great endeavor in mystic yoga is not enough to please the Supreme Lord. Because the Supreme Lord must be approached through devotion. Dharma sanustita pumsam visvaktena kadasya dharma sanustita. We cannot just engage in any kind of dharma. Different types of dharma are there for different kinds of people. But all these kinds of dharma will not do in reaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must engage in paro dharma. Vasudeva paro dharmo. So it is said, Vasudev, service to Vasudev, that is the ultimate dharma. Vasudeva para veda, Vasudeva para makara, Vasudeva para kriya, Vasudeva para yoga, Vasudeva param jnanam, Vasudeva para dharmo, Vasudeva para gati. It is said that Vasudev is the ultimate goal of life, paragati. He is the ultimate dharma. He is the ultimate austerity. He is the ultimate goal of all yoga. He is the ultimate goal of all sacrifices. That has to be understood. That the purpose of all sacrifices is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the perfection. There is no greater perfection in life. There is nothing more pleasing than to please the Lord. We can look for sources of pleasure. Someone purchased a new Mercedes and said, from now on, I will drive all the Swamis. Right? Yes. He said, yes, it cost me $75,000. That's a lot of money. So he hopes to derive pleasure from his Mercedes. But a Mercedes is not just designed for pleasure. A Mercedes is also designed to give you pain. It already starts with the $75,000. That hurts. Right? And it doesn't end there. Because everything is expensive. If anything breaks on a Mercedes, it starts with 3 zeros. Like that. You know. So it's not just wonderful. There's also a heavy side to it. So look at any pleasure. A boy is dreaming that he wants the most beautiful girl in the world. And the one who has the most beautiful girl in the world has a big problem. I'm sorry to say, because when a girl is very beautiful, she's got many men falling at her feet. And she'll say, get it together, I can get 10 other ones for you, If you don't get serious, I'll trade you in. Yes. On the mundane realm, not on the spiritual platform. So this is not an expression of male chauvinism. If anyone thought that maybe it was, it's not. It is describing mundane dynamics when we're speaking about devotees. Then, as much as we are transcendental, that is as much as we are not affected by the mundane. As much as we are not transcendental, we might be affected by the mundane. That is still there. Then men have their mundane conditioning, and women have their mundane conditioning, and that can be, if we take that too serious, if we take our material conditioning too serious, then it could become an obstacle. It doesn't really matter so much. We have false ego. Oh my God. Do we have false ego? Yes. Beat yourself over the head. Such a thing. How dare you have false ego? How dare you have material desires? You sinful wretch. Repent, repent, repent. You are a shame on earth. How can you even look in the mirror and smile at yourself? How can you smile at anybody? No, that's all not required. That leads generally to inferiority complex or to frustration, depression, and so on. And that is not the purpose. Because we have to know that our false ego is insignificant, even if it is as big as a house. It is insignificant because this process of Krishna consciousness can purify it very quickly. It will work. It will work. Don't worry. Even we will be purified, believe it or not. It will be done. Anyone becomes attached to Krishna. And the purification goes deeper than we think. But it works different than we think. Because even after many years, still material desire. This morning someone came in my room and said, can I talk to you for 5 minutes? I still have a problem with duplicity. what's new under the sun, Duplicity is quite natural, especially in the age of Kali. But there are different kinds of duplicity. There is a cold, calculative, exploitive duplicity, manipulative,
where we lie and cheat in order to exploit someone. And then there is simply another type of duplicity which is born from lack of trust. Well, you know, I used to say, love, yes, trust, well, think about it. It is like that in this age. Love and trust sound beautiful, but in the age of Kali, it's not easy to trust. Who can you trust? Many times we have been disappointed in our life when it came to trust. So everyone is a little apprehensive, and everyone keeps a little bit inside. As we grow up, we learn to not just say everything you think, express everything you feel, because we know that it gets you in trouble, right? And we learn to keep it smile, keep it well hidden. And how are you? Fine. Thank you. Yes. So is this duplicity? In one sense, it is, but it's understandable because it has come about in the age of Kali. Someone may say, you know, Maharaj, it's terrible. I lie sometimes. Jeez, how can you do such a thing? I can't believe it. You're a Vaishnava and you lie sometimes? What kind of Vaishnava are you? A Kali Yuga Vaishnava. What to do? What to do? In Kali Yuga, these things, they do happen. They have become so much part of our nature that it's a little difficult to overcome these things. Anyway, so let's not spend day and night worrying about it. Let's just get into our service. Let's do some service. Because that devotional service is much more powerful. It is said, the most powerful means of purifying ourselves is devotional service. Anartapasamam saksat bhakti yogam adoksaje. No chair today? Oh, chair coming. Chair. Yeah. Anartapasamam saksat bhakti yogam adoksaje. This means that by the process of devotional service, all these stumbling blocks, all the impurities will be removed from the heart automatically. Then, additionally, there's also a conscious endeavor to try and develop good qualities. But that's difficult. From today on, the 1st of January 2009, I will, and there comes the list, and on 2nd of January, half of the list is out of the window, and by the time 1 week is gone, you know, make a plane of the thing and whew, there it goes. Good intentions. Over. It's just impossible. It doesn't work. Good intentions are nice, but tested in everyday life, we just automatically slot back into the old pattern. A Chinese proverb. While dreaming, I dreamt 1,000 new paths. I woke up and I walked the old one. Some wisdom in ancient China. It is like that. It's not so easy to just change yourself. But it is Krishna who can easily change us. And by associating with Krishna, we will be purified. By serving Krishna, we will be purified. By chanting His name, we will be purified. By Krishna personally, by His direct association, and by tadiya. Tadiya means all the paraphernalia, or all the things that are connected to Krishna. So, it is by Krishna, and by all the tadiya, that we will become purified. So this is our means of purification. Serving Krishna, associating with the paraphernalia that are related to Krishna, with the people that are related to Krishna, anything related to Krishna. Bhagavatam says the value of something is judged according to its relationship with Krishna.
Pritiritam yat pratiyate na pratiyate chatmani tadvitna amayam mayam tamo masa tamo basa.
It is stated that according to the relationship something has with Krishna, it has value or not. As simple as that.
Anything related to Krishna is valuable. So, yes, a little mystic yoga, if we connect it with Krishna, then it's valuable. But for self-realization, it's not the process in this age.
But for physical fitness, maybe. When you get overweight from too much sitting behind a computer in a car or anywhere, sitting, no movement in modern times, no exercise, we need love. Sometimes we may need for health.
But if we make that into a religion to be healthy,
oh yes, my health, it's all health.
But what will your health do anyway? Sooner or later, it will break down. Even the healthiest person has to die and has to get sick. So, well, we do something for health, but don't get carried away. Philosophical speculation. Well, it's said there are two types of speculation. Sometimes the word is used mental speculation, and sometimes the term philosophical speculation. When Srila Prabhupada uses these terms, he uses them in a particular way. In mental speculation, Srila Prabhupada meant our own concoctions, our own mental ideas. In philosophical speculation, he meant to try and understand the philosophy. Because in the philosophy, we get pieces of the puzzle, but sometimes there's a piece missing. It's like sometimes you have to understand, but how does it work? And we don't get it completely explained. Like the other day, Jnana Samudra was asking a question to me here out in the hallway about those living beings who are in the womb. We know that it is stated in Bhagavatam that living beings who are in the womb are conscious, and that at least in the seventh month they become conscious. And then they pray to the Supreme Lord, oh, what has happened to me? Again, I have blown it. Here I am in the material world. My Lord, please let this life be successful, and so on. And I promise you, this life, I will be your devotee. And then when they come out of the womb, they forget it all. And then it starts again. And it's a party. I'll never forget Bhakta in Hansel and Gretel. As he comes out of the spiritual world with his subtle body, which is a plastic sheet with a hole, with his gross body, which is a big winter coat. And he says to Krishna, says, are you sure you want to go? Yeah, no worries, I'll be right back. You know, just have a look, it will be fine. And then he said, but then you have to take these things. And he gets like all these packets to carry, material desires, false ego, and he's got a whole stack of it, and he comes into the material world, curtain drops, next scene, there is Bhakta, 2 meters tall or whatever, with his, in the cradle, in a big cradle, with a baby head on, and feet-sized boat, right? Waving at the audience, smiling like anything. And voices come, oh, he's so lovely, our Hansel, he's so sweet. Yeah, I remember it like quite vividly because it was good. So that is how it is. That is the material world. That's the material world. Once we take birth, we forget. We begin to enjoy. Now, Jnana asked the other day, yes, but what about an animal? Right? What about someone who's in the womb, a living being who's in the womb of an animal? Is he also conscious? Well, so it's one of those things where you take off your head as a swami and you start scratching and think like, well, Bhagavatam didn't say anything. which Purana says anything. I mean, we can look in our Vedic encyclopedia and so on. We can search the computer, but it can be hard to find something. Then what you do, right?
So then we entered into some philosophical speculation.
Is manodharma forbidden? Forbidden. The word for speculation is manodharma. Manodharma means forbidden dharma, forbidden activity. Manodharma, speculation. Mana. It is forbidden.
Yes, but philosophical speculation. We said, well, you know, if we apply logic, you would expect that the living being in the womb also would be free from the modes of material nature in the same way as any living being in any womb at that point in time. Right? And that he would also pray to the Supreme Lord, but then would become covered even more at the time of birth due to that animal birth. Because, after all, the living being, when leaving this body, carries his mind with him, the same mind, every life, and all the impressions are there. So he exists in his subtle body, really, in his mind, and then enters into the womb, but he still has access to the mind, facilities of the mind. So, apparently, one might think that animals, or that living beings that are in an animal womb would also have that awareness of the Supreme Lord. But since it would be logical, but we didn't read it, so therefore we have to at the end still put a question mark. It might be so. This is not mental speculation. It's not the kind of speculation, well, what would God look like? Would he be green with purple dots? Or, you know, would he have six heads? Or a long neck like a giraffe, you know, or no personality at all. And guess what? I came up with a real original idea. Yes. I have my own religion. Really, you have your own religion. Yes. What is it? Everything is God. Really? And you thought of that all by yourself. How original. Amazing. How did you manage to come up with that? That's your own religion, eh? Far out. You know? Just somehow or other, when you start mental speculation, that's the best you can do. Because you can never imagine Krishna. No one can imagine anyone as beautiful as Krishna. Think of the most beautiful person you can imagine. And it doesn't come close to Krishna. Doesn't. So, we just can't imagine Krishna. But in personalism, that's just about as far as we can imagine. And everyone thinks it's his own original idea. Something like, I saw a cartoon about this book, a psychology book that some devotees like reading. It is known as The Road Less Traveled. Right? Yeah. And then I saw a cartoon about this, The Road Less Traveled, and there was a huge traffic jam. Yeah? A huge traffic jam on The Road Less Traveled, because everyone's into psychology these days. Yeah. The Road Less Traveled, everyone is into it. Me, my mind, my feelings, my traumas, my experiences in life, and I'm announcing my problems. Like, I love them. like that, huh? But philosophical speculation is different. Philosophical speculation is when we are actually trying to understand the philosophy, but sometimes we just lack a detail. And then we discuss, and we put a question mark. It's twilight zone. When it comes to the philosophy, I sometimes use an analogy. It's that we have the daylight zone of knowledge, then we have the twilight zone of knowledge, and then we have the night of knowledge. So the night of knowledge is just that, what we can't know.
can't know everything.
And then the twilight zone is the sort of stuff you can almost know. And then there's the daylight zone of knowledge. That's crystal clear. Right? So devotees always like to ask twilight zone questions. They are the best, you know. What do the demigods have for breakfast? Again, Bhakta knows, you know, because they did a play, The Demigod Who Fell to Earth, right? And Somaras, I guess it was it? Bhakta says. But really, aren't they having, in some places, it is said that there are huge mangoes falling off a huge tree that have no peels, and these mangoes, they come down and they splash on the rocks and they cause a river of mangoes. And it said those celestial beings that live in those regions, they drink that mango juice. And it says the ladies that drink that mango juice, their bodies are naturally fragrant like mangoes. Mm. I said, no mango soap, no. Just see, you know. So there are places, there are all kinds of places where things are going on that are hard to imagine. A big tree with mangoes, I forgot to mention, as big as elephants, no skin, mm-hmm. Believe it? Yes, you do. And these mangoes fall down on a rock and cause mango juice. Mm-hmm. Yes, fairy tales. But do you believe it? Huh? Yes, you do, of course. You're a believer. But this blind faith, what will it do? Huh? What will it do? We first have to understand the bigger picture. First we have to appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who He is and what He is like. And when we begin to understand that He is a person, then we begin to understand that He has a taste. And then we begin to understand that the world where He lives is also based on taste. And then we begin to understand that lotus flowers and mangoes make sense in an aesthetic world full of taste. Because mangoes are good. And so they belong in a world where everything is ideal. And we can understand that those flimsy little fruits that we have in this world and that we dare to give the name mangoes are the perverted reflection of the original. Yeah? And anything is the perverted reflection of the original, right? That handsome young prince is also a perverted reflection of the original, and so is the princess. And so is everything in this material world, a perverted reflection of the original. So when we philosophically begin to understand this, then gradually we can accept transcendental knowledge. Well, let's carry on with the verse. The next topic is dana. Dana, or giving in charity. The one thing I want to say about charity is Vaishnava charity. I'm interested in Vaishnava charity. I'm not interested in punya, in giving a donation here and there. Because of Vaishnava. When a Vaishnava gets charitable, he doesn't just give a donation. He doesn't just give some of his wealth. Vaishnava charity means a Vaishnava gives himself. He gives himself. And that is the greatest charity, when we give ourselves. He gives everything. He's the most magnanimous. He completely... A Vaishnava gives everything he has. He gives himself. And this is real charity. And this is how it works in devotional service. And we are being tested. One time, I was in India. And at that time, I was the manager of the Mayapur Samadhi construction. And that was busy. I had no time for anything. Many times, I would chant my rounds. Halfway Mongol Arctic, I would go the first half, and the second half I started chanting because I just had no time at
I'd start work at 6. So, like that, it was a very busy time. Then one day in 1986, Lokanath Maharaj appears and he says, the Padayatra is coming. And at that time, Padayatra meant lots of devotees, an elephant that was known to be wild, a camel that had bitten people, and lots of bulls, and so on, with big horns, huge horns from Gujarat, like that. And he said, yes, Padayatra is coming. Can you help to take care of them? I looked at Maharaj. I said, Maharaj, I'm so busy, Maharaj. Maharaj, I just have no time. Then Lokanath Maharaj said, in my village, they say that if you want to get something done, then you go to a busy man. Because a busy man, he may not have much time, but at least he'll do something. But if you go to a man who's not busy, that's a lazy man. He won't do anything. What could I do after that? Completely defeated by village logic, you know. That is like, all right. So there, I had a camel and a wild elephant and hordes of people. Pani nahi, pani nahi. No water, you know. And oh God, oh dear. Yeah. But then you do it, and then somehow or other Krishna helps, and it works. How? You don't know, you know. But this is how it is in Krishna consciousness, Vaishnav generosity. It goes beyond logic. It goes beyond calculation. It goes beyond the limits. And Krishna somehow or other helps. After all, Prabhu, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupasati tesam nicha yogakshemi vahami aham. Krishna, he preserves what you have, what you lack, and he carries and he gives you he preserves what you have and carries what you lack, like that. That sloka they pull out of the hat when you say but. There is no but. The Bhagavad Gita has always an answer in every situation. Of course, there is such a thing as over-endeavor. Over-endeavor means when somehow or other we begin to sacrifice our essential spiritual practices, chanting, rising early, reading Bhagavad, hearing, chanting. So busy with service, no more hearing and chanting. No. Then it's time to say, no. No, Prabhu. No. It's not possible. N-O. No. I can't do it. No. But surrender. No. I can't. Then it's time to say, I can't. Because I have to chant. I have to read. If we do so much service that we can't chant, can't read, useless. We're shooting ourselves in the foot. That's useless. Yes, if we can't chant. That's over endeavor. But otherwise, this Vaishnava generosity is a very beautiful thing, where a Vaishnava goes out of his way to please another Vaishnava or anyone really. So preaching is also based on this principle that we just this generosity. When I first used to go to the Sunday feast, those were the days, my friend. Those were the days when Sunday feasts had 15 good preparations, when they started cooking on Saturday, and when everything was delicious. It wasn't one of those Sunday feasts. Rice, dal, sabji, halva, and puris. It was every bread was fired out, and it was for free. It was just amazing. It really was overwhelming that they gave all that for free. It was extraordinary. It did impress me. It did impress me that they would just give all that. That was amazing.
So this we can only conquer people by our generosity. It's the only way. If we can attract anyone to Krishna consciousness, Krishna can do. But if we can be of any help in attracting anyone to Krishna consciousness, then it's only to that generosity. It's the only thing that will do it. If we extend ourselves, we conquer. Then we conquer someone's heart. It touches people's hearts. Yeah? So this is amazing. This person is like going so much out of his way. When Prabhupada was first lecturing in America, many people couldn't understand him because of his heavy Bengali accent. Especially in America, where we speak like, So, well, chewing gum, bubble gum English. No one understood Prabhupada, but one person was just making a comment, and it's there in Lilamrita. And he said, when I heard him speak, he was hard to understand. He said, but, I could understand that he was an old man, and that he had come from very far, at great difficulty, and that apparently he really had something valuable to say. I could understand that. And I therefore, because I could see he made such a sacrifice, such an endeavor, therefore I wanted to hear what he had to say. Prabhupada conquered like that, by his sacrifice, by his inconceivable generosity. He was not Superman. He was not. He had heart attacks on the way, on the Jaladuta. He was not Superman. He was old, but he was generous, very generous with himself. And this conquers the hearts of people. And with this generosity, Prabhupada created so much goodwill in the hearts of everyone, even after Prabhupada left, that goodwill still stood. And it is even those who joined after Prabhupada, on the strength of the goodwill that Prabhupada created, they surrendered. They surrendered. Someone compared it to a capital, the capital of Prabhupada's goodwill. But then afterwards, new leaders, they took the surrender for granted. And gradually that capital went down, and down, and down. You have to surrender. But Prabhupada would preach to people about surrendering, and if they would, he would say, thank you. And that really, Prabhupada would really thank people. Thank you so much for everything you're doing for me. It's your duty, And if you don't do this, you're a rat. Appreciation for everyone's sacrifice, for everyone's attempts. And he himself made the biggest sacrifice. And therefore everyone felt like, yes, for Prabhupada we do it. Yes, we're going to make a sacrifice. And people did amazing things. So austere. Those early devotees that traveled, from America to London and Malati with a baby. And she needed a little privacy, and they lived in a garage. And they built a little room from a cardboard box. She lives in a cardboard box, a big cardboard box with the baby. She didn't say, darling, it's time that we get a house now. No, she was very, very, very brave. Very bold, super bold to preach. But it was nothing compared to how bold Prabhupada was. Prabhupada was so bold that was nothing. That's why she could do it. She said, I can make this little sacrifice. He made such a sacrifice. He gave everything. I can give a little bit. And in this way she could do. And everyone could do. In this way everyone could do. And those early devotees were so austere. In Paris, they came together, and then many grihasthas, men and women, were living, and they had a dhoti across the room. That was it, male side, female side, dhoti across the room, and they lived like that, right? And that was the preaching base, you know, dhoti in the middle, and that was it, you know. Such austerities, right? But such a spirit we must preach. We must give this Krishna consciousness to others, for Prabhupada, because he completely gave himself. We can also do a little bit. Everyone felt like that. So in this way, this principle of generosity, of giving ourselves, is what will make this movement a success. And if we don't do that, it will never be success. We can try different techniques, you know. We can try and, you know, say, look at my watch. Chant Hare Krishna. We can try hypnotism or bribes, depending. We can do a Sai Baba, you know. But all that, I have a video, you know, where the Baba is sitting in India and it's really hot and he's sweating in the program, a thousand people. He gets a towel from a servant, gives him a towel. He rubs his face with the towel, which people do in India when it's hot. Next moment, he starts to like... and a golden egg comes from his mouth and drops in the towel. I can do that too, mate. If someone buys a golden egg for me. I haven't got the money for a golden egg, but if I would have, that's easy. I can do that, you know, anytime. And then you see when he spits it out, whoop, the people go, oh, it's like, wow, a miracle. Ah, come on, cheap magic. I've seen better than that. Okay. Yeah. The guy that cut the lady in half was more impressive. Right? You know, stuff like that. Lady in the box and then cut the box in half. I mean, I find that more impressive. The box is really in two pieces, right? The feet are sticking out. Of course, the lady is a yogini who is like all folded up in one half of the box while some false feet are sticking out. But okay, you know, but still, it's a good trick. But Prabhupada simply impressed by his generosity. Nama Mahavandanyaya, the most magnanimous. So this is the basis of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, and every one of us has to become magnanimous by giving ourselves. That's the only way it will ever work. We can't hypnotize, we can't work out this strategy, that strategy. The strategies are all right, that's the packing. Some packing is nice, but the substance is the sacrifice we make. And the more magnanimous we are, the less packing we need. The less magnanimous we are, the more we rely on the form in which we present our movement. But the more we are magnanimous, the more we conquer with that. Prabhupada didn't need anything. He came with his white plastic Swami shoes from India, no compromise. And people just joined him. That wasn't so easy. I mean, most of us joined an institution, joined a movement with a temple and with many temples and a whole thing behind it. And it's got a certificate that it's a tradition from India, from thousands of years old. And many, many people have been tested. Psychologists have said it's okay. They have proved in a court that chanting of Hare Krishna is not brainwashing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Keep on chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. One doctor who got into Krishna consciousness said, you know, when I'm chanting, you know, I think I have to stop. He says, because when I am not chanting, it echoes in my mind all the time. I said, very good. It's not brainwashing. Now for us it's easy. We know all these things. But those who joined Prabhupada, that was different. They just joined one person, gave their whole life. They didn't know anything about that. Was sacrifice. That was a serious sacrifice. So this is, Vaishnava generosity. It is a very important point to contemplate. This is not just another casual remark, which is also useful in Krishna consciousness. Now we've gone to the core of things, the very core. The core of our own spiritual life, the core of our movement, that which is the center of everything we do, is this, is being magnanimous. Magnanimous means like to have a great heart or great soul. This in Bhagavatam there is this sage Dadichi, the demigods, they come, and somehow or other there is Ritasura, big demon, and the only way that they can do something if a weapon is prepared from the bones of Dadichi. So they're coming to Dadichi and say, Dadichi, we want to beg some charity from you. Dadichi says, no problem, anything you want you can have. Dadichi, we need your bones. So usually if people get after our bones, we get, wait a minute, my bones, if you try to touch my bones, you're going to get my bones in your nose, Right? There are some limits, But Dadichi was totally relaxed about it. He said, oh, you need my bones? Yes, no problem, yes. Just give me a moment to give up the body and then you can take them. Because he was completely transcendental. So to be magnanimous, you have to be completely transcendental to the material body. Then you can be magnanimous. But as long as we are not transcendental to the material body, we will still be calculating. We will still be under the dictates of the body, and we want this and we want that. And even if we don't openly show that we want it, indirectly, we know how to get it somehow or other. As long as we are not completely transcendental, then these things, they happen. So that's why everyone in this movement, young or old, has the duty to be a pure devotee. Today. How to be a pure devotee is simply to be a pure devotee today, now. Pure devotee means now, in the immediate. Don't worry so much about the state of your heart, but just now do the right thing for Krishna. Don't think, tomorrow I will be a pure devotee. And that is, manana I will be a pure devotee. Yeah? Manana never comes, right? The old Mexican manana? In case you don't, manana means kal, in India, kal, tomorrow. Yes, manana. So, in India they have this also. When will it be ready? Tomorrow. You come tomorrow. When will it be ready? Tomorrow. I said tomorrow. Yes. Tomorrow, it will be ready tomorrow. No problem. Yes, tomorrow. So, this is actually how we deal with Krishna. Tomorrow I will be a pure devotee. In the future I will be. No. Now. Right now. Start now. And then each step is a step in pure devotion. Now we're listening to Bhagavatam. Let's do it. Let's take it to heart. And then the next step. Carry on with that. And then Krishna will reveal a next step. This is how it is. If we surrender one step, Krishna will reveal to us the next step. And then we can surrender to that step. And then he will reveal another step. And in this way, again and again, he will reveal to us more and more step. And step by step, we are becoming pure devotees. More and more. And this is how it works. It must begin now. Right away. Just like Prabhupada, who was translating, he sat down to translate at 11 o'clock of night in Hong Kong.
And then Prabhupada, his servant, one of the devotees who was serving him at least, was still awake. So Prabhupada invited him. He said, come, sit next to me while I'm translating. And I said, thank you, Prabhupada. You know, it's 11 o'clock. I need to go to bed. He said, Prabhupada, I'm very tired. Prabhupada said, but I'm not going to bed. I'm not taking rest. He said, yes, but Srila Prabhupada, you are a pure devotee. And then Prabhupada said, then, why are you not a pure devotee? So this question is to all of us. Why are we not pure devotees? Because we postpone. Tomorrow I will be a pure devotee. Mañana. Yes. Kal. Ho jayega. Darur. Yes, yes. You know this. Yes, yes. You will come. Yes, yes, yes. I definitely. Yes, yes, yes. No, never come. Yes, yes. You will surrender to Krishna. Yes, yes, I will surrender. Yes. Never, never. All right, time's up. Any comments, any questions? Sudanam Namabhas. Namabhas is when we are not yet free from material desire, and when we have still some material motivation in the chanting, then we get only the dim reflection of the name. Then the pure name is not fully manifest yet. Therefore, it is Krishna, it is the dim reflection of his name or of his presence, but we are not yet perceiving the full darshan of Krishna. Therefore, we are not like Rupa Goswami, who is asking for millions of tongues and millions of ears while chanting, while he says, while the Lord is dancing in the core of his heart. That's not our case yet, that we chant in ecstasy. But if we carry on like this, then we will be purified. And sometimes there is a moment that we are a little inspired while chanting, some special mercy, some days, the rare occasions, but suddenly it's happening, yeah. And this is how it is. So these are gifts from Krishna. And the more we are generous and magnanimous, the more Krishna will reciprocate. Yeyatamam prabhadinte tam stataiva bhajami aham. As you surrender unto me, I will reward you accordingly. So if we are not, it says also in Bhagavatam, that if at the recitation of the name, tears are not coming from your eyes and your hairs are not standing on end in ecstasy, then know that your heart is steel framed. Heart of steel. Heart-hearted. Heart-hearted means selfish. We become heart-hearted when we are self-centered, when we care more about ourselves than about anybody else. Then we are heart-hearted. So we have to start becoming generous more and more.
The process of offering devotional service to Krishna in a fraser manner.
To the process of offering devotional service in a step by step manner. The animals cannot make a conscious endeavor, or rarely, to do devotional service. Animals depend on the arrangements of the Supreme Lord, or of human beings, or higher beings, like celestial beings. When we offer foods to Krishna and make it prasadam, the animals can steal the remnants. And some are very eager. Like in Vrindavan, the animals are very eager. We used to walk with a bucket of prasadam, sweet rice, from one building to the other building. And in between, a bird just goes like, and he dived right through it, you know, and flew back away. He got it. We had, in Vrindavan, in the temple, we had a net over the temple. There's a big open courtyard in the middle. There's a metal net. But a tree was growing through, and there was a hole. So we used to take prasadam in the temple, all sitting on the floor in rows. So one time, at the end of prasadam, suddenly a monkey came down into the temple, found a hole in the net, came inside. And then the monkey came up and sat down on the mat in front of an empty plate. So what to do? I was the manager, actually. I said, give him prasadam. Give prasadam. Monkey ate half the plate and then left, you know. Yeah. So in Vrindavan, the animals are very special. But generally speaking, animals depend on human beings to make the arrangements. And then they can take advantage of it, you see. On their own, they cannot really do it. Yeah. So therefore, the human beings must also be merciful to the animals. Yeah.
Animates,
not animals. He wants animates. The same for animates as for animals. Mals or nuts, all the same. Same thing. Whether it's a tree or whether it's whatever, you know. Stavara Jangama. The Stavara and the Jangama, the moving and the non-moving creatures. Even those who are within stones. On their own, these stones can't do any devotional service. On their own, the trees cannot dance. But maybe if an ecstatic devotee embraces that tree, the tree gets the mercy. Or we can pour maha water on the roots of the trees. And we should do that. We should give maha water to the trees. All the trees here are devotees. We should get regular some maha water. Because they're devotees, you know. They need the mercy. That's why they're born here. So, Vaishnava is merciful to all living beings. But we have the duty to be generous. Yes. They can, yeah. I mean, it can be explained in various ways. In a technical way, it's explained in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And there it is explained that in bhava, even in bhava, well, it says actually in devotional service there are three divisions: sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. But it said the nature of bhava and prema is the same. Prema is just a little stronger, but it is the same. Why then is it a different category? So because in bhava there is still a trace of material contamination, still a trace of experiencing obstacles in this world. But in prema, there is no more obstacle. There is no more contamination. Everything is just perfect. Everything is just Krishna. And like Srila Prabhupada said, you can fall down, I cannot. And Prabhupada was completely 100% free from material desire. But let me just finish one point. There was a time when Prabhupada gave a lecture on a Vyasasan, a little bit similar to this one, on a platform with steps. And Prabhupada gave the lecture about the need to be 100% pure if you want to go back to Godhead. And everyone was like getting a little, oh my God, we're never going to make it. And then Prabhupada saw that mood in the devotees. And when he stood up from the Vyasada, he came down and he
He stood up and he said, anyway, 90% will do. Right? He came down one more step. He said, even 80. One more step he came. He said, even 70% will do. And then he took his chadar and threw it over his shoulder and walked away like that. So even 70% will do. So we don't need to worry. We try very much, and if there are some traces of material contamination remaining in the heart, if sometimes you feel attracted to the material energy, just ignore it and go on in devotional service. Krishna will shower us with mercy. 70% will do. By service, we become purified. That's why we must hear, and it must be accompanied by actual practical service. And when we do this practical service for Krishna, then we get purified, and the result is that the things that we hear will go deeper. And then we can retain it more, then we can try to improve the quality of our service, and then again, we will retain the knowledge more, will attract the mercy of Krishna, like that. So, therefore, we must really become serious about taking up some service for Krishna. Now, of course, if you have four little children and a hungry husband, or an angry husband, or whatever, you know, or a combination of both, then it may be difficult. There may be just no time, and then your service may just be try and make your kids Krishna conscious, and be a pillar of Krishna consciousness at home. So, when I say service, it depends on the individual situation and capacity, but it is the service that will make the message penetrate into our heart. Just like the deity, how can we actually realize that Krishna is here and that it's not a statue? It's not so easy, because if we would really believe that Krishna was here, how would we behave? We would not stand there, go here, I burn down. Not like that. We would be. Yeah, we would be deeply ecstatic. But how can we realize that we are dealing with the Supreme Lord by serving the deity? When you begin to serve the deity, that's where the transformation takes place, that from a statue to dealing with Krishna. And the more we serve the deity, the more the deity begins to manifest itself as Krishna. So, same way, transcendental knowledge. The more we serve and put it into practice, the more it begins to manifest itself. And Sanatana Goswami, in conclusion, after he heard all the instructions of transcendental knowledge, the whole philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he prayed. He prayed to Lord Chaitanya and he said, my dear Lord, please grant me this one boon. Please let all this knowledge be manifest in my heart. So that you can also do. You pray to Lord Chaitanya. He said, my dear Lord Chaitanya, you gave it to Sanatana Goswami. Please give to me also. Like that. Finished? Well.
Or
Yes.
Yes, it means that we decide now that whatever thoughts come to my mind, whatever desires come up that are not Krishna conscious, I'm not going to entertain them. They are unwanted guests in my consciousness. I will not feed them. Because Chanakya Pandit says, if you want to get rid of an unwanted guest, don't feed him. So all these thoughts, right, that come of material things, we will not pay them any attention. We will not feed them, won't pay them any attention, then they'll go away. Just like unwanted persons will go away. If you don't pay any attention, you don't give them anything, they'll go. Although they may pester you for some time, yeah. But eventually they'll go. If you don't pay attention, don't give anything. That is for sure. So like that. And then we focus on service. Okay, we're finished now. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.